Our final content segment covers a genuinely diverse set of stories. Chatto going open source, the spider venom and honeybee research, Meta's RAM reuse engineering, the Yamanote Line soundscape, and some of the cultural and historical oddities that make Hacker News worth reading. And then we're going to do something we find useful, which is interrogating the most confident claim we've made today.
Chatto going open source was the second highest scoring story today at 991 points and 271 comments. Chatto is a chat application framework. The developer Hendrik Mons announced that the project is now fully open source. The community reception was warm, but the HN discussion also raised the question that always comes up with open sourcing decisions. What's the sustainability model? When a solo developer or small team open sources something, is there a plan for maintenance, governance, and handling community contributions? The technical quality of Chatto appears to be high based on the comments from people who've used it, which makes the longevity question more pressing, not less.
Meta's RAM reuse story is interesting from an engineering and sustainability angle simultaneously. Meta built a custom bridge chip that allows them to install older DDR4 RAM in servers that are designed for DDR5. The performance characteristics of DDR4 versus DDR5 mean there's a meaningful speed difference, so this isn't a universal solution, but for workloads that aren't memory bandwidth constrained, it lets Meta continue getting useful life out of inventory that would otherwise be retired. At hyperscale, even a small reduction in hardware turnover translates to significant cost savings and reduced manufacturing demand.
From a sustainability perspective, this is actually a positive story about large-scale computing. The environmental footprint of data center hardware is dominated by manufacturing, not operation. Keeping chips running longer reduces the embodied carbon cost per compute cycle. The engineering challenge is non-trivial. A bridge chip has to handle signal integrity, timing differences, and power delivery in ways that aren't straightforward. The fact that Meta built this internally rather than waiting for a commercial solution says something about the size of the economic incentive.
The spider venom story, and I love that this is on Hacker News, involves research showing that a peptide derived from Australian funnel web spider venom selectively kills varroa mites without harming honeybees. Varroa mites are arguably the most significant existential threat to managed honeybee colonies globally. They parasitize developing bees, transmit viral pathogens, and have developed resistance to most of the chemical treatments currently in use. A selective miticide derived from spider venom would be a significant development for apiculture.
The mechanism is what makes it interesting. The peptide apparently targets a specific ion channel that exists in mite physiology, but not in bee physiology. So the selectivity isn't just empirical, it has a mechanistic basis. The research is still in early stages, and the path from this works in a laboratory setting to this is an approved agricultural treatment is long. But the science is compelling enough that HN's community of biologists and chemists found it worth discussing.
The Yamanote Line soundscape is the kind of project that reminds you why Hacker News is genuinely special. Someone built a complete audio environment for Tokyo's Yamanote Line, the circular rail loop that connects most of the city's major stations, including platform announcements, ambient station sounds, and the distinctive train chimes for each station. It scored 189 points, which means a lot of people either love Tokyo, love ambient audio projects, or both. The technical execution was praised in the comments.
The I built the only 2026 WOTU Jeep story is similarly wonderful. A builder documented how they constructed a fully functional Jeep that meets 2026 road safety and emission standards while being visually indistinguishable from a World War II era Willys MB. The engineering challenge of making 1943 exterior design meet 2026 regulatory requirements apparently involved miracles, both literal and figurative, according to the author.
And Unicode's transliteration rules being Turing complete is the deeply weird computer science story that belongs in any HN recap. Nicholas Sariot published an analysis showing that the Unicode Technical Standard 35, which governs transliteration between scripts, converting Arabic to Latin characters, for example, contains a rule system expressive enough to simulate a universal computer. This isn't a vulnerability. It's just a remarkable property of a specification that was designed for a very mundane purpose. Accidental Turing completeness has shown up in things like CSS, SQL, the C++ template system, and now apparently the Unicode transliteration standard.
DocuBrowser also surfaced today, an open-source tool for turning a pile of documents into a searchable knowledge base. The GitHub project addresses a genuinely common problem. Organizations have enormous amounts of institutional knowledge locked in PDFs, Word documents, and other unstructured files, and building retrieval over that is harder than it should be. The HN comments were constructive. People sharing similar projects, discussing embedding strategies, and debating the trade-offs between different vector search approaches.
Okay, let's do the what if we're wrong exercise, because I think the most confident claim we've made today is the argument that client-side scanning necessarily and fundamentally breaks end-to-end encryption. That's been presented as a settled technical fact by cryptographers, by the security community, by Signal's leadership. But let's stress test it.
I'll push back on myself here. The cryptographic argument against client-side scanning is, if you scan content before it's encrypted, you haven't preserved end-to-end encryption. You've just moved the breach to the client side. And that's true by definition. But the what if we're wrong question is, are there technical architectures that could achieve the stated goal, detecting illegal content, without creating the surveillance infrastructure that critics fear?
The strongest version of the counterargument is privacy-preserving machine learning applied locally. You could imagine a model that runs entirely on device, never exfiltrates content, and only sends a cryptographic signal, not the content itself, if it detects a match against a known illegal hash database. The content never leaves the device in readable form. That sounds less invasive.
But here's where the assumption breaks down. Who controls the model, and who controls the hash database? The technical architecture might be local, but the policy architecture requires trust that the detection scope won't expand. An on-device model that detects CSAM today could, with a software update, detect political speech tomorrow. The cryptographic properties of the system don't protect against policy drift if the scanning binary is controlled by a party whose interests may diverge from the user's over time. That's not a technical claim, it's a governance claim, and it's much harder to verify.
So the thing to watch for, if we're wrong about client-side scanning being inherently incompatible with privacy, is whether any jurisdiction that implements it shows genuine, verifiable restraint in how the scope is defined over a multi-year period. If 5 years from now the detection categories haven't expanded, and the hash databases are independently audited, and there are zero documented cases of the system being used for purposes beyond CSAM, that would be evidence that the governance concern was overstated. If, conversely, we see scope expansion within 2 years of deployment, that confirms the critics' framework.
The concrete signal to watch is the audit mechanism. If Chat Control 1.0 includes a genuinely independent technical audit body with real authority and public reporting, that's a meaningful constraint. If the audit function is internal to member states' governments, it's not.